sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. And you know how you serve the valley for decades? You're good at your job. That's how you serve the valley for decades. You're good at your job. Remember what we just talked about, work ethic? Well, you can be a natural at selling insurance. But the key is Purdy's great because their people have great work ethics. They work all the time. And who do they work for? You. Auto, home, life, business, bundles. They do everything they can whenever possible to find the best price. They update policies. And if anything ever happens, they jump right in for you. Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And all hail, finally, online sales for vehicles. The next step forward. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. Sunbury Motors Service Department parts. They're open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. But now the door is open to online car sales. Governor announced that today. Now, is that, Matt, is that effective immediately?
Yes, that is effective immediately.
Good. Go for it. Go online and check. Go for it. Play-by-play call of the day. It's game two, Boston Garden. Maybe the best Celtics team I ever saw in my lifetime was the 86 Celtics. Bird, McHale, Parrish, Ainge, Dennis Johnson. Oh, the sixth guy was some dude named Bill Walton. Well, the Celtics won the game, but Michael Jordan scored 63.
Guarding Michael Jordan. Jordan goes up for the shot and hits it and has 61 points to tie Elgin Baylor's all-time single-game playoff record with 8 on the clock. Jordan ties the game.
Oh, boy.
63 points, and you're looking at an all-time.
Dick Stockton with a call back then on CBS. Yes, the Celtics won the game. They swept the Bulls in the best-of-five series in three straight. But Michael Jordan, after 49 in the opener, scored 63 in Game 2. Celtics, by the way, would go on in 86 to win the NBA championship, and probably, for my money, the best Celtics team that I've seen in my lifetime. And yeah, I go back to those Celtics teams in the 60s with Russell and Havlicek and JoJo White and, you know, Sam Jones, Casey Jones, on and on. But that 86 Celtics team, best one I saw. And Jordan still scored 63. It's amazing. The documentary brought out a couple things last night, beyond just the basketball part of it. It brought out the drug culture of the NBA in the 80s. Which is something, this is, if I had to pick out something where Bird and Magic coming into the NBA together, in the 70s, the NBA was getting a reputation of being a drug league, a cocaine league. I'm just talking about what the reputation was. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I knew for sure. I was in college at the time, high school and college. But that was the reputation. And when Magic Johnson and the Lakers beat the Sixers and the great Julius Irving in the finals in 1980. The deciding game was on tape delay TV, and I watched the tape delay where Magic had to fill in for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar who had migraines and Magic had to play center. But the game was tape delayed. This is the Lakers with Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and the Sixers with Julius Irving. Tape delay finals. In 81, the Celtics beat the Rockets. Oh, wait a minute. Also tape delayed finals. See, that's where the NBA was. And then Bird and Magic combined to get the NBA into prime time. And then Michael comes along. And Michael talked about going to a room one day. He said, there's women, there's weed, there's cocaine. He's like, whoa. Okay. This is where the NBA was. And they're transitioning out of it at this particular time. They're getting back into prime time. But there was also Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen, according to the story, is a walk-on at Central Arkansas. And this is where your own personal situation plays into decisions you make. Scottie Pippen he's not a walk-on, my apologies. He's the manager at Central Arkansas, the manager. See, this is going to be the Luke Cotrillo story. Okay? He's a manager. And then from the freshman of the sophomore season, he has a growth spurt and he gets to like 6'3". Again, the parallels with the Luke Cotrillo story. You see where I'm going here?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, by the time I'm done, he's going to be loaded here. I mean, lots of cash, and I mean, you'll have a summer home down in South Carolina. Okay? Because, I mean, really, in the end, this kid's your ticket. It's all I need is... You're going to go home and tell Lisa we're signing him up for basketball.
No, we've already come to that agreement.
Oh, come to that agreement.
Yes, because her younger brother is about 6 foot tall and can dunk. He didn't play organized basketball. Okay. So I said if he gets his jeans, we're putting up a hoop to work for that scholarship money.
There you go. 3 months and 20 days old today, by the way.
That's right.
That's right. See, I care. So Pippen has the growth spurt, and because of circumstances, Central Arkansas, a couple of the scholarship players are on the outs. So he goes to the coach and basically says, hey, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. I go, okay. So they let him in. Well, they let him in, and he's pretty darn good. And then he goes from 6'3 to 6'6, 6'7. And now he's not just really good. He is a great college player. So he ends up being the fifth overall pick in the draft by the Seattle Supersonics, now the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's drafted by the Seattle Supersonics, but it's prearranged that Seattle would draft him, and then they'd trade with the Bulls. Jerry Krause had arranged this. And you'll find in this documentary, Jerry Krause is a unifying force. I'll get to that in a moment. Sometimes you can be a unifying force and not the way you hope to be. They make the deal, and he goes to Chicago. Well, they can tell right away that he is one heck of a player. He's pretty good. And Jordan is really upfront about it, to his credit. Jordan, to his credit, says, hey, look, I mean, without Scottie Pippen, wow. You know? I mean, he gives Pippen a lot of credit. Well, Pippen gets to a point where now they have to negotiate a contract in his career. And Pippen signs a 7-year, $18 million deal. In the end, I think near the end of the contract, the way it's escalated, he's getting like $2.8 million a year. When they get to 97-98, he is still under. He's in his last year of that 7-year, $18 million deal, and the last year of the deal is paying him $2.8 million. Now, this is Scottie Pippen, who in 97-98 is going to be the sixth highest paid player on the Bulls and the 122nd paid player in the NBA. Yes, the same Scottie Pippen on the Dream Team in 92. 5 years earlier. Okay? Same Scottie Pippen. That's a big reason why they won 5 titles to this point. Now, why would Scottie Pippen do that? Scottie Pippen's father is sitting at the dinner table, comes home from work. They're sitting at the dinner table. Dad slumps down. Dad has a stroke. Well, it puts his dad in a wheelchair the rest of his life. His brother's wrestling. It's just a freak accident while wrestling. I'm talking about organized wrestling. Right? High school wrestling, whatever it was. And in a freak accident, whomever he's wrestling comes down in such a way where it does vertebrae damage to Scottie Pippen's brother. He's in a wheelchair. So now here's Scottie Pippen. Great player, but a great player out of Central Arkansas. Okay. Signs a 7-year, $18 million deal. Now, I'm going to guess that, yeah, the $18 million was important to him, but I think the 7 years may have been really important to him. It gave him some financial security because at home in his mom's house were 2 people in wheelchairs. And, of course, he's sending money back home to help out whenever he can. And, you know, if you put yourself in the shoes of somebody else, you know what? You can see in some ways why he would do that. Now, does the contract hold up? No, the contract doesn't hold up because Scottie Pippen becomes way beyond a 7-year on a relative scale, obviously. Well beyond a 7-year, $18 million guy. Well beyond. But the Bulls, once you sign a contract, they don't want to talk to you again. So you can see that sometimes someone's own personal story and what's at home in that personal story sometimes dictates how they handle a situation. How could he possibly take so little money on a relative scale? I mean, he has no confidence in himself. He probably looked around and said, that's a 7-year deal. I can take care of my family for 7 years. My father's in a wheelchair. My brother's in a wheelchair. So if you put yourself into somebody else's shoes, now it helps give perspective on decisions that are made. And I've always felt that's an important way to look at somebody else. Take a moment. Put yourself in their shoes before you get critical of them. And I can understand why he did that based on that. Now, in terms of, the Bulls weren't going to renegotiate. I mean, look, the Bulls were a down-and-out franchise when Jordan went there. They were only averaging like 6,000-7,000 a game. Now they get to Jordan. Oh, now they're selling out Chicago Stadium. And now they're thinking about building the United Center. The other part is Jerry Krause as the unifying factor. Sometimes you have guys that are unifying factors on your team. Your head coach can be your unifying factor, Phil Jackson. Your head coach can be your unifying factor, James Franklin. Your coach can be your unifying factor, Nathan Davis, Dave Cicchini, Patrick Chambers, Jay Wright, John Calipari, Mike Krzyzewski, Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney. They can be your unifying factor. And then there's the Jerry Krause factor. You can tell to a man they flat out just disliked Jerry Krause. They couldn't stand working for him. They couldn't stand being around him. And this, by the way, it is a revelation to anybody that's young and wasn't alive during the Bulls dynasty. For me, that's worked in sports every single day. And I've done so every single day for over 40 years. I knew in the 90s how disliked Jerry Krause was. I knew it then. We all knew it. We all knew that he was disliked, and we all knew that in particular he was disliked by the Bulls players. We all knew it. So having that come out in this is not exactly a revelation. But you can be a unifying factor sometimes when you're a negative. Like the owner in the movie Major League. They didn't like her. Unifying factor. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com and... also by Sunbury Motors. Go online. You can start buying. All right. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Matt, it was a very interesting day news-wise. I think that all of us thought that Pennsylvania would follow New York's lead on pushing back to May 15th, but that didn't happen. May 8th was the pushback. So just an additional, essentially 7 days, an additional week. And now you can do liquor sales and it's curbside. And now car dealerships can sell online. So there was some semblance of good news. And I think, Matt, you've reported that for the most part in the Valley, the numbers have stayed stable.
Yes, exactly right.
And here in Center County, it has stayed stable. Center County has seen no increase in 7 of the last 9 days. Today was another no increase day. 7 of the last 9 days. And the 2 days where there was an increase, one day it was 2, the next day it was 1. So that's where we are. We've at least had some semblance. How about that? Some semblance of good news. A fair way to say it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Just another step in the right direction there. We still have to practice social distancing, of course. The biggest thing is the stay-at-home order is extended to May 8th. But after May 8th, things could start to really look on the up and up if we can
stay on track.
Stay on track here for the next 2 weeks, yeah.
And by the way, so good to hear from Dave Ritchie today.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it great to hear from the Chief today?
A great surprise.
Sounded terrific. And he made a good point about not taking things for granted. But that's why I wanted to point out to Dave. Dave is a person that's never taken anything for granted. At least when I've been around him. And to be honest with you, I mean, take for granted. When it comes to my wife, my kids, my grandchildren. To be honest with you, I've never taken them for granted. Never have. Job? Never taken that for granted. How often have you heard me talk about, and I've mentioned this a few times in the show, either doing a game for basketball or doing a Spikes game for baseball or doing Penn State football, where I've got that moment in a game where I look out and I'm sitting in Medler Field, Lebrano Park, and I look out and I see Mount Nittany, or there's that gap that I can look through between the south stands and the west and the east stands, and I can see the Mount Nittany mountain range, or when I'm a basketball arena where I look around at least once a game and I'd say how fortunate I am to do this. Always. I've always been that. So it's like, that's why I, like, take things for granted. You know how many times I've been on a golf course And I thought to myself during a round, boy, I'm really lucky I get to do this. A lot. A lot. So for me, that part about taking for granted, no, that hasn't changed. That's and my wife and I, Kathy and I, have both been like that always.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, bundles. They'll find you the right insurance so you're covered. And they will make sure that whenever possible, you get the best price. And that is Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Best in the business. Customer service means everything to them. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the story today, not only the fact that the great service department, service and parts and so forth, open 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Sunbury Motors, but online car sales now being allowed. Go online now to Sunbury Motors. All right. The Jordan documentary, fascinating, I thought, last night. Absolutely fascinating. For those who lived during that time, there are probably a lot of you out there that weren't Bulls fans. And that's what happens with dynasties. Dynasties, for the fan of the team, is the greatest thing going. For those who are not a fan of the team, they hate your guts. For example, if I were to mention to Matt Cotrillo, the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, so say he.
Can I go barf?
Oh, that's just low. That's just low. Oh.
That's a whole other topic.
Wow, you're just, I mean, God. Everybody says what a great guy you are, and then I bring up the Cowboys. And it's, wow. Okay. But that's the way it is when you're perceived as being great, a dynasty, whatever. I mean, look, in New England, the Patriots are like, oh, the rest of the country is like, they can't stand the Patriots. All right, but that's the part of being good. And I go back to the story that I've told about, you know, Bill O'Brien. And, you know, it's interesting, though. Just before I get to that, I was watching a documentary on Joe Namath the other day. And I've seen it before, so it's not the first time I've seen it. And I'm watching Joe Namath, and he's talking about his high school coach. And I can't remember his last name, so my apologies. And he's talking about coach this and coach that. Then it gets to the Alabama part. It's about Coach Bryant, Coach Bryant, Coach Bryant. And every time that he talks about Weeb Eubank, the head coach of the Jets, he always referred to him as Coach Eubank. Peyton Manning's like that. Coach Cutcliffe. Coach Fulmer, Coach Caldwell, Coach Dungy, Coach Kubiak, right? And then his coordinator and quarterback coach at Denver for a period of time was Adam Gase. He referred to him always as Coach Gase. Always. That's such a sign of respect. I mean, Joe Namath referred to all of his coaches as coach. Peyton Manning always has referred to people that coach him as coach, just as a sign of respect, which now brings us back to another common denominator that we talk about with the great ones, Kobe, Gretzky, Lemieux, Bobby Clark, Bobby Orr. You guys go in the long, long list. Roberto Clemente, you know, everybody through time. Roy Halladay, you know, all the greats. Manning, Brady, Russell Wilson. They all want to be coached. They all have a great work ethic. LeBron, awesome work ethic. Came into the league, had an okay jump shot. Okay. Yeah, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. It was okay. And he worked his backside off. And now, when LeBron takes a jump shot, you expect it to go in because he's worked that hard at it. It's one thing to have natural gifts, but you've got to be able to work all the time. And I'll never forget, and I've told this story before, but Bill O'Brien, of course, had been with the Patriots and was the quarterback coach and was the offensive coordinator. That meant, of course, he was side-by-side with Tom Brady. And the And when you look at, we were doing a show one time as the coach's show. It was in a restaurant here in State College. And this guy starts to ask a question about coaching quarterbacks. He says, you know, you coach quarterbacks. He said, you didn't have to coach Brady. And as you know, Bill could occasionally get a little ticked off about something like that. And I could tell he's pretty mad at this guy. So he's sitting to my left, and I take my left hand and I put it on his right arm. Like, just, in other words, just stay steady here for a second. I got this. And the guy's done asking his question. I think in a roundabout way, he's trying to get about to, like, McGloin, I guess. Whatever it was. And I said, Bill, let's, and I jumped in. I said, Bill, let's touch on that for a moment. I said, you and I both know, because we've both been around great players, you've coached them. I said, I've covered them. That the great ones want to be coached. Right? What does it do for you as a head coach when you've got someone who wants to be coached and has that work ethic to be coached? And then that opened the door for him to talk about it. Because that is what the great ones want. I think all of us from the outside looking in sit there and think, wow, he's just so naturally talented. He's that we don't think about the work. And Jack Ham and I often talked about Saquon Barkley and said it's really great and sets the tone for the entire program when your best player is your hardest worker. And it's all the stuff you don't see. You get a little clip of them in the weight room, and you get a little clip of them running a 40, and you get a little clip here of practice. But when you're out there every day, and I'm out there every day, you see this, how hard guys are working, and you see some guys that aren't working hard. That's one of the most difficult things. And I've talked to James about this, and Patrick, and I talked to Joe about this. You know, because you get an opportunity in casual conversation to bring, you know, certain things up. And I said, to me, the toughest part of coaching is knowing a guy can work harder and that guy already thinks he's working absolutely as hard as he can work. And you know they can work harder. You know, they talk about giving more. Well, that's what it comes down to, working harder. Instead of getting there at 5 after 6, you're there at 5 of 6. Right? Instead of doing the standard, hey, I did all my sets, you do the extra set. Hey, we're going to, hey, guess what? John Reed, good example. John Reed, guys, we're all watching film today. Other players on the Penn State football team over the years have told me that they now watch film religiously because John Reed got them into watching film. That's part of working hard. And that's all these greats. Hank Aaron worked hard. They'll tell you how hard Willie Mays worked. Roberto Clemente worked hard. I mean, I know the suit doesn't believe it, but Ryan Howard worked hard. Suit doesn't believe it, though. Didn't give his kid an autograph.
I did from him, actually. As a quick aside, when he was still with the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Red Barons, when the Phillies team was up there, he gave us the lineup card.
See, that's tremendous. Right? And he's also a good judge character. Suit's still mad to this day. Ryan Howard didn't give his kid an autograph. But they all, Julius Irving, everybody will tell you, the doctor outworked people all the time. And that's what it comes down to, not taking your talent for granted. So when I taught class in this, I always teach my class here in the Sunbury Motors studio. And that's what we talked about today. I said, look, to quote the great Norm from Cheers, Norm Peterson. He walks into the bar and says, Norm! And he walks in and he says, how is it out there today, Norm? He says, it's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy. I feel like I'm wearing milk-bone underwear. Well, that's what these some businesses can be like, including the one we're in. You got to outwork people. And that's what happens in sports all the time. It's all the stuff you don't see. It's that extra set in the weight room. It's that extra sprint out there. It's the staying afterward to run pass patterns. It's becoming a better blocker as a running back. I mean, I'll tell you a story about Saquon in practice one day. Saquon is, it's a Sunday night. And they send the kickoff return unit out. And Saquon, of course, on kickoff returns. And I don't know, he's taking his turns. He gets out there, the second, third one comes down, he dropped it. Well, you'd have thought that they just shot the dog. He's like, right? So he takes another rep, and he dropped it again. You have no idea how mad he was. Now, this is a Sunday night in practice where you think, all right, I dropped it, all right. No, that's not how Saquon Barkley did it. That's not how he took it. He was furious with himself and stayed afterward and took more kickoffs. Right? Sounds like a simple thing, catching and fielding a kickoff. And, okay, that's just a simple example. Doing the extra because being good is not good enough. And that's what this documentary shows. Jordan is work, work, work. All the time. So we talked about, when you heard about all the eulogies about Kobe Bryant was work, work, work.
And what was interesting about that, Steve, and this is one of the things that struck me from the whole thing, was Roy Williams saying in his interview that Michael Jordan, as a freshman, was so inconsistent. I couldn't believe that. So it does show you how much he actually worked. Sure, he had the natural talent, like you said earlier, but he really did have to work for it because things weren't so smooth for him when he transitioned to college.
And see, again, you're transitioning from high school to college. Okay. Guess what? It's a jump. You transition from college to the pros, it's a chasm. And that's why the truly great ones do it in such a way where they make you think it's easy, and it's anything but. And here's the other part that came out. And how many times have we talked about it on this show? And it comes up repeatedly in the documentary. And Steve Kerr talked about this last night. He said, man, winning's hard. No kidding. It goes back to the movie which Todd Sadowski and I, we make jokes about it all the time, A League of Their Own, about the Women's Professional Baseball League with Tom Hanks and Gina Davis. And the part that Todd and I always laugh about is when they're doing it, a newsreel on the team, and they're showing, you know, they're showing the Gina Davis plays the catcher. Hey, and there's her kid sister. And then they show Marla Hooch, and it's like, they're like way back. Marla Hooch, what a hitter. It's okay. Well, there's a part in the movie where she says it just got too hard. I think this is when she's going home to Oregon with her husband, who's just come back after being wounded in World War II. Just got too hard. And he looks at her and he says, if it was easy, everybody could do it. It's the hard that makes it great. It's the difficult that makes it great. And that's why we admire watching great athletes, because if we're smart enough, we realize it is difficult. And they do make some of it look so easy, and that's a credit to their greatness, and it's a credit to their hard work to make it look like it has some semblance of ease. Because it isn't easy. We'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Hi, this is Susan from Purdy Insurance. We continue to listen to the recommendations from federal, state, and local experts, including the Center for Disease Control, concerning efforts to limit the spread of coronavirus. During this time, our office remains operational and available to service our current and new clients. Our employees will be available by phone at 570-286-5855, as well as email, and have access to our systems to continue to conduct business. Please know that our after-hours emergency service will continue to be available. Based on the recommendations from federal, state, and local experts, our building will be closed to the public during these extraordinary times. Our employees will be working from home to practice social distancing so we can do our part to keep our staff and community as safe and healthy as possible. Please be advised that all face-to-face meetings will be discontinued in favor of conducting business via phone or email. At this time, we ask that you be safe, be well, and be kind, and know that your Purdy Insurance team is committed to the highest levels of service and is only a phone call away.
Tailgates on Saturday. And when I was on one of the virtual tailgates on Saturday, Taylor Stubblefield, the new wide receiver coach at Penn State, jumped in. And we had a couple laughs about Joe Tiller, whom he played for. And he played in that game in Beaver Stadium in 2000 with Drew Brees that Penn State won 22-20 after Adam Talaferro got hurt. And he was talking about, like, walking in there. He's like, holy mackerel, this is like big-time football right here. But remember when this happened, the timing of all this. The spring break began on that Saturday, March 7th. In fact, I'd gone to Chicago. In fact, I did the show in Chicago, didn't I, on the Friday the 6th, right?
Yes.
I think I flew in. I did the show that afternoon in Chicago. And then did the game on Saturday, came back, and then I left and went to Indianapolis on Wednesday. Well, the football family all dispersed on Friday, the 6th. That's why James hasn't been back. Taylor Stubblefield was telling me, along with the rest of the group, and this was, by the way, the Gary Goloszewski. Okay, it's the Tom McGrath tailgate, Gary Goloszewski curator. Taylor was telling the entire group he's still in Miami. Because he went down there to like, okay, I'm going to start getting my stuff and like moving all my stuff up to State College. He couldn't leave. He's still in Miami. Well, we have more in the NFL draft coming tomorrow. And it looks like we're going to get Gene Chizik on the show. We're looking forward to that. The former head football coach at Auburn who led Auburn to the national championship in 2010. And it looks like we're on the verge of getting him on the show courtesy of the SEC Network. It is draft week, so we'll get the... It'd be great to get his view on Tua Tagovailoa. See, Tagovailoa scored a 13 on the Wonderlic. But I guess he took it another time. I guess that was like a couple years ago, and then he took it again. It was 18. I can tell you after reading articles today that one person that I've been involved with, and I've only done one interview with him ever, and that was Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman's out of Stanford and is about as well-spoken and just when you're done, you're like, boy, that guy, boy, he's got a head on his shoulders. You know? That kind of guy. He's impressive. He only scored 24 on it. Yeah? I mean, were you ever curious, Matt, when the suit told us he scored 50?
I would have to say somewhat.
Yeah. Now, I probably shouldn't have asked out of what, but actually, in order to know what I was talking about with the test, about the reasoning of it and so forth, because I think you have to do it in 12 minutes, I remember. I took the test. So. It's fine. I scored 44 on it. Like, okay. But I really wanted to score big. But figured I'd do it. Now, Tua may have scored 13 one time, 18 the other, but it's not the Vince Young 6. Okay? Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to PurdyInsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Car sales online starting now on News Radio 1070 WKOK.